So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review,
mate. I've got, currently my hair is bleached blonde, and I'm going on holiday next week, and I'm needing it to be brown. I'm looking for somebody that can tell me which colour, which hair dye to buy, so that I can dye my hair back to my normal colour, which was brown. But it wasn't too brown. It wasn't hazelnut. It wasn't copper. It wasn't chocolate. It was just boring, dull, old brown. What did I get? How'd you get colour brown for the shops?
Looking for a local hair salon in your area?
Well, the wobby shut the now. Have you not got anybody that can put me on advice? Have you got anybody? What about him that blew out the straighteners? Nicky Clark?
Nicky Clark.
Aye, put him in.
Good afternoon, this is Nicky Clark. May I help you?
Donna, I need to know the exact colour of hair dye I would need to buy from the shops so that I can go back to my normal hair colour.
That's results to make it natural. I was just maybe coming into the salon and having a colour put on with one of our technicians.
How much would that cost if there was any appointments here to get my hair dyed there?
From £100, maybe a bit more, maybe a bit less.
Aye, that's fine with me. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye
bye. Bye.
Welcome to Review Away. I'm John Pollock with the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu student, Wei fucking Ting.
That's right. Third best in the world.
Third best in the world. That should be that CM Punk shirt that we made for you, the Wei one. The yellow one?
Uh-huh.
That should be on the back. Third best in the world.
That's not even accurate.
Yes, it is.
Third best in the featherweight division
in the
tournament in Scarborough. And
that's here. A great idea for a future t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/law.
You know, we would love any type of t-shirt ideas. Throw them our way. We're always looking for t-shirt ideas.
We always want to take some suggestions.
We're not going to pay you a dime for anything.
No, this is
we barely get paid.
You submit your intellectual property and we retain the ownership rights in perpetuity,
but you get we'll give you full credit. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Every time I wear the shirt, I'll yell your name out off my balcony.
Yep, and pat on the back.
Sure, take what you can get. We got an exciting show coming up where we're going to be chatting an old documentary. But how are you doing, Wei? How are you doing with your ice cap chill?
No. This is just an iced coffee.
Iced coffee.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're already drinking iced coffee just a few weeks removed from that angle on Raw.
Oh, that's right.
You clearly do not get thrown off by sickly angles that could completely turn your stomach when it comes to a particular substance.
I made sure very much so that no Roman Reigns interferences were.
I wouldn't want some guy with that long, greasy hair making my coffee either. If like Roman Reigns was behind, he better have a hairnet.
Yeah, I would think so. Is that weird to you, the fact that wrestlers
have long hair?
No, just like always show up with wet hair. And I think the like I was listening to somebody's podcast recently, and they actually, it was Jericho's podcast where he had Dreamer and Paul Heyman and
Edge
on, and he mentioned how I think it was Heyman who mentioned how one of the wrestlers, he always told him to wet his hair because otherwise it would look too...
like a pretty boy.
Yeah, too much like a pretty boy.
That's why I cut my hair off.
That's why
I was too much of a pretty boy.
And I guess that makes sense because I guess like light, fluffy, big, poofy hair is a little too kind of like Harley Quinn novel cover model.
Yeah.
But wet hair... I guess
I don't know who was the first to start it. It might have been Dr. Death Steve Williams, who was not a pretty boy. But
no.
Yeah, it was the big thing. And I don't even pay enough attention to realize it's still pretty prevalent. I mean, Dolph Ziggler.
No, it's Triple H. I mean, I thought to me it was really apparent with The Shield. Like those guys, they just, I'm sure they go through like a 24-pack of Dasani. just before their entrances.
They're looking for a sponsorship, maybe.
Yeah, just like water everywhere.
Did you ever want to have long hair at any time in your life?
Yeah, I did. Not that long, but like I wanted like maybe like a giant bob. And I guess I was kind of on my way to one.
You were going there.
Yeah. But eventually,
that classic photo that Raymond Sharp has incorporated as his avatar.
Yes.
Back
yes.
when you had the you looked so funny in that photo.
Yeah, I didn't have a beard. I barely have a beard now, but I didn't have any facial hair, and yeah, I just had like I was kind of going for you know, like I don't know what I was going for.
No one knows what people are going for. That photo is something else.
Yeah,
I look hideous. That to me was like the low point of me.
What are you talking about?
I had my black hair phase during that time.
Yeah,
and just terrible. I wore these baggy clothes.
Did you have earrings at that time?
Oh, I had it all. I had it all. Terrible.
We all have our phases. Yeah. We all have our awkward
Thank
phases.
Thank God that one was short-lived.
Did you? You also had like a raver phase, didn't you?
A raver phase?
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. I'm learning.
Did you?
What's a raver phase? No, Does that mean I look like Hooked on E or something?
No. But didn't you have like the wide-legged pants?
Yeah. I did wear very baggy pants at that time.
And the flame shoes, I guess you could consider sort of a raver look.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And the blonde tipped hair?
I didn't have blonde tipped hair.
What did you have?
I had black hair.
But you had bleached blonde hair.
For a time, and then I got sick of that, and then I went to black hair. And then one day, it was literally, what the fuck am I doing? And I cut, and I'm like, no more hair dye. I had been dyeing my hair since, I think, 1998.
Really?
Until 2005.
And what colors would you go?
Blonde, for the most part. Yeah. I mean,
but
I was...
You're already blonde. You wanted the...
My hair was... When I was a kid, it was very blonde. And then it started to get a darker blonde. And then in high... In, I guess it was elementary school, actually. All my friends started dyeing their hair. So I was just a follower. I was like, well, I guess I'm going to dye it, too.
Were you a big Eminem fan?
No, not at all, to be honest. I didn't really get into Eminem at all. But I just dyed my hair. It was something to do.
Right.
And what a pain in the ass, because I do it myself.
So what do you actually have to do? Just pour the peroxide?
Just buy the dye, and then, yeah, you apply it onto your hair. It's not supposed to go onto the scalp, but I always ignored that. Figured I'm going to go bald just from destroying my follicles.
It seeps into your brain, whatever.
Yeah, there was one time where I left it in too long, and I was totally, like, just fried. Like, my
mind... You actually get a headache?
Yeah, totally. Wow. It was you're supposed to leave it in, I don't know, half hour, and maybe I left it in an hour. So I want to see how bright can I get this thing. And I look back, I'm like, what an idiot. What an absolute idiot.
No, you should try it now, I think. Now with your...
No,
you have a shaved
look. I couldn't dye my hair now.
You could...
What are you talking about? There's nothing to dye.
You ever consider shaving your head completely bald?
Skin bald?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It would be a little much. What about you? You've been kind of conservative with your hair for a while now. It's just got the Wei Ting whoosh to it.
The whoosh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Never heard it described like that.
You've got like a...
I don't know. You know what? Send us your t-shirt suggestions. Also send us your hairstyle.
Facial hair suggestions.
Suggestions.
Yeah. Do you have a thought process to the beard? Because sometimes you'll just completely get rid of it. And in others you have... That is a hell of a beard. Like the fucking 90 degree sideburns. Goes right around.
My hair actually naturally grows like this. Like if I want it to grow on the sides, I can.
Do you shave?
Yeah, like because it gets kind of patchy,
right?
Around you know these spots, and so I just kind of shave that off. But otherwise, it pretty much naturally grows like this.
Yeah.
And the last time I actually got rid of it was probably like 5 years ago, where I accidentally shaved myself. Like you know, I use like a beard trimmer.
Yes.
And do you have one? Do you have like a beard?
I just used your standard electric razor.
I actually use like a beard trimmer, and you know how you can set the different lengths on it?
Yep.
Once, like, I think I just woke up and then I had accidentally left it on zero, and then I turned it on and I just started to shave.
Oh no.
And then all of a sudden, oh shit. Here's like a big line, like just a big chunk that was missing. And so I got rid of the whole thing. Actually, I left my mustache for like a period.
To
look like a creeper.
Yeah. For a while. You got to go through those phases.
Yeah.
I tried to grow a beard once and it was horrendous.
There's some video evidence.
There is. There's video of me getting rid of it, actually.
Is there?
There's a when I did a politics and I worked it into something like where they zoomed in on my face as I'm talking about some politician. I'm like, if there's anything I hate more There's nothing I hate more than someone who is two-faced, and boom, it cuts to my beard gone.
Oh, wow. Which one is that?
I can't remember. It is on YouTube somewhere in the plethora of politics videos.
There's some homework for people.
Yeah, so people can go check the beard out. It was, we all play around.
Yeah.
We try to find something that works.
Experiment, you know, especially when you're young. That's when you should always experiment.
Yeah.
With your face.
With your face. And whatever else happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited, Wei? We are off to Las Vegas tonight.
Very excited.
This is going to be a very packed couple of days we've got coming up with Ultimate Media Day on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
where we are going to be interviewing the entire world attached to this UFC.
Who are some of these names that you hope to talk to?
On the card, I very much want to interview BJ Penn. I've never had a chance to interview him before. And I think, honestly, as we get closer to this weekend, I think that's the fight I'm most interested in. I'm looking ahead. There's the two title fights on Saturday, which will be fine. But Weidman and Machida is maybe the most interesting fight of all of them. I am intrigued by that one as well. Ronda Rousey, Alexis Davis. Man, the odds have come out. Rousey is a massive favorite, like minus 2,000, I think, on some books. Which is, I don't know how odds makers don't learn in MMA. Alexis Davis is like a real fighter. Yeah. She's really dangerous. I'm not picking her to win, but I think she has more of a chance than Miesha Tate did and more than Sarah McMahon did.
Yeah, I might actually consider putting some money down.
That is crazy odds. And, again, he's the favorite for a reason, but Frankie Edgar opened up as a 10-1 favorite over BJ Penn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand those odds. You can very much make the argument BJ Penn won their first fight back in 2010, but, I mean, it's 4 years later. Penn did not look good against Rory McDonald, but that was 170 pounds.
Yeah, but he's also coming off of however many year layoff.
Year and a half. Edgar hasn't fought in a year, though, either, because of the Ultimate Fighter, which has been a horrid season.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you watched any of this tough?
Absolutely none.
It's been a bad season. I didn't watch the first half of it. I've been catching up on it once I found out we'd be covering this card. Like, no fighters that jump out at you as being able to make the jump over to the UFC. No personalities that really came through. No rivalry amongst the coaches. And to me, the biggest highlight of the show was Mark Coleman, who in the shows I've watched is just a background player.
Yeah.
Everyone was raving about, man, Mark Coleman's going to steal the show. He's there. You see him, but not really a central figure.
Yeah, it just seemed like a pretty kind of arbitrary season to have.
You had Mark Coleman and Henzo Gracie on this show. They should have been controlling the talking portions.
But they're not fighting, you know?
Who cares? Give me something to keep me week to week.
Yeah.
I need something. Henzo would be fine. Every week I get Henzo breaking down the fights. Something.
Are you allowed to place bets?
Me?
Yeah.
I think legally I can, but ethically I will not.
Yeah. Well, just secretly. You could do it through me.
Well, wait, you should have a modicum of ethics to you as well. You are still a journalist.
Oh, no,
you're a visual journalist.
I just hold the camera.
You are holding the lens at which the world views the fighting.
It's not like I'm going to specifically angle my shot so that the winner will have the person I bet on will have an advantage.
That'd be a great opening question. I'm putting money on your opponent. Why is that a wrong move?
Yeah.
Put the mic in them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they're just too polite. They'd be like, I don't know. That's a good bet. I don't know. I'm going to try my best with my wrestling.
You've been to Vegas many times before, right?
Twice.
Twice?
I think.
Yeah, me too. But both times for work. But what do you usually do in Vegas for fun?
For fun? I mean, both times I went, I wasn't really much into gambling at the time. This time I'll go play a bit.
What's your game?
I like blackjack. I think we should play 21.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll
play 22, actually.
I love 22.
Yeah.
Play a bit of that. I don't know. Okay. Whatever. I'm not going to do any excessive gambling. I get kind of bored.
No, I think Jason Agnew is more so the gambler amongst all the law family, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to play most of these games. And well,
21's pretty simple.
I'm
hit, pass.
That's true. But I get so heartbroken even if I lose $5 that even if I were to win, I don't get that excited about winning, you know? I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. I won $10. I won $100. That's great. But if I lose $5, then my day is ruined. So it's not worth it.
I went gambling for the first time when I was about 19 or 20 years old. And this was when I was working a part-time job, and I went with my friends, and I lost $200. Mm-hmm. It was the end of the world for me. I was like, how did I lose that much? Because in my head, I'm making like minimum wage at a movie theater, and I'm like, how many hours did I just blow? For what? For nothing. And I was so – I was like, this, gambling is stupid. I get nothing out of this enjoyment. What could I have gotten with that $200? And it,
what could you have gotten?
More than nothing, which is what I walked away from that table. I got the experience of watching my money go up for grabs and losing it.
Thrill, excitement, arguably, a story to tell on a future podcast.
Great. Not $200 worth.
Maybe not. No.
Yeah. And it killed me because I got up and then I lost it all. And then it comes back to you're just trying to win back. Then you just want to get even and then you're losing more and your losses just continue to grow.
Becomes a metaphor for life.
It really does. What else do you want to do in Las Vegas?
I just kind of want to see some of the sights and hang out with some of our friends.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be there. We're partying with Dave Meltzer Friday night.
I know.
That's going to be the highlight.
Very excited.
Maybe that'll be next week's review.
Just our time with Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
And just to see what Vegas has to offer. I know our colleague Ariel Schneer is trying to get us hooked up into some clubs.
Oh, really?
We're going to go clubbing.
Oh, boy.
You
I
and
don't
I.
Know. I don't know if I'm going to be clubbers, man. Clubs.
Make sure you bring your proper shoes. Make sure you tip to dye your hair blonde or whatever.
Yeah, we got to find the most ridiculously named nightclub in Las Vegas because they've got some ridiculous ones.
How about like Hole?
Hole.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a name?
Yeah, sure.
Chair.
Toothpick.
Yeah.
Wall.
I don't know.
The best part about Vegas, we can get some beers away and walking in the street.
That's right.
That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the alcohol.
It should be a lot of fun. I really, we've known this trip has been coming for like over a month now, but now that we're in the week of, I mean, I live week by week. I don't process things until the week of when I got to deal with things. And this week it's like, wow, there's a lot happening in Vegas this week. There's the media day we got to cover, the weigh-in, two sets of weigh-ins, two cards. There's all of the added events that are happening, the Fan Expo, which we're going to be going to. It's going to be a very, very busy couple of days.
I know.
And we're not going to get to see TNA on Thursday night.
Shit.
So no Review and Impact this week, but we might have a bonus show or two this week, considering how many people are going to be down there. Maybe we will rope some people into joining us.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if – I mean, I feel like everybody will have so much to do in Vegas. They won't want to spend any time with us.
They'll make time for us.
Okay.
So that's coming up later this week. But today, we're traveling to Edinburgh, Scotland.
The other Vegas.
The Vegas of Europe. Scotland.
You mean Glasgow, actually.
Wasn't one of their shows in Edinburgh?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, one of them. But primarily, this promotion is based in Glasgow, isn't it?
Sure. Scotland.
Glasgow? How am I supposed to say this? Have you been there?
Nope. Never been to Scotland. And I think I have some ancestors that are from Scotland, so I'm some percentage Scottish.
Okay. Anyway, cool.
Scotland in the World Cup?
I don't
like
think
Ireland?
So.
Are they playing Ireland?
I don't even know if they're
Ireland is not in the World
Ireland
Cup.
Ireland is not, no. Let's not do this. Let's not
talk about soccer. No, let's not talk about badminton.
Let's not.
You want to talk about the NHL draft?
We are only qualified to talk about two things, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And one of these things people don't want us to talk about.
You wanted to review a kickboxing show next week.
No, I did not.
Find out next week.
We're trying to think of what to review and...
You came up with a great one. We'll announce at the end of the show. Yeah, you came up with a great idea.
I'm very excited about next week's review.
It's WWE Network friendly, which is great.
We'll announce.
How is the network working for you after your troubles with World Class?
It's perfectly fine. I don't know if that week was just a sort of an anomaly due to bad internet at home and at work, but it's been great ever since.
At work, I can understand. At home, that's troubling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our work. How is the internet right now at work?
It's okay. Is this what we're going to talk about?
We're not. Let's not even spend any time talking about our internet speed.
Is this worth bandwidth?
People have already broken their listening devices. Mm-hmm. Get to the fucking review.
Yep.
Insane Fight Club. This only aired this past March on the BBC.
Yeah, it aired. And I think what kind of caught my attention about it was just how much how many requests we got for this, I don't know, otherwise pretty unknown promotion documentary. And I'm not exactly sure the reason why, but I'm assuming mostly from the people that are already familiar with this particular promotion. But it seemed to get quite a bit of press.
Listen, I think our show, it very much caters to fans over, whether it be in England, in Scotland, in Ireland.
Wrestling in general.
Yeah. Like, they, per capita, I would bet the bank that that is the strongest area where wrestling is hottest.
Sure.
Is over there. I mean, Christ, embracing TNA to the level they have. Feedback we get when we have kind of centric shows to that part of the world.
Well, listen, anytime we go to those post-WrestleMania shows that are pretty much, I don't know, I have to say at least half, if not more, filled with fans from the UK, it's quite apparent that there's like constant hunger for pro wrestling on that side of the world.
Yeah, and I think more of a less critical audience, I feel.
Yes.
I feel that they appreciate more of the positives than and are more accepting of the negatives that come with professional wrestling in general on shows.
Perhaps.
I'm completely stereotyping right now.
No, but I know what you're saying, though. Like, it always seems like they're full of energy in the crowds, and it's more like they're going out to have a good time rather than to look for things that they don't like.
I wonder if ever a WrestleMania were to go to Europe, something like that, how many North Americans would travel across the ocean for WrestleMania. Hmm. I feel it's almost this idea that big events, it's like the big events come to us in North America, whereas in Europe they will go to the big event.
Yeah, for sure.
At least in wrestling.
I really don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, I think it would depend on the card, you know, a big enough card and a big enough excuse for people to travel. It would always work. But because of the time difference, I don't think that would happen right now. We'd have to come up with some type of... Do you think they would ever do like a WrestleMania? What's the time difference? 6 hours?
Typically 5 hours in England.
So that means for it to start at 8 o'clock in Eastern Standard Time.
It'd be 1 in the morning there.
It would
Or 1 in the morning.
It would
8 o'clock here.
Yeah,
would be 1 o'clock there.
Yeah. Okay, that's not feasible. We'll never do that.
No, I don't really see them doing it though. I mean, TNA is going to do it and air a show on tape delay in Japan.
Yeah,
it's like 13 or 14 hour difference.
Okay, but I suppose like with TNA, I don't think many people are going to jump on the internet to find spoilers ahead of time. I think they'd crave that type of attention right now. But with WrestleMania, I think the live atmosphere matters a lot. I don't know. We'd have to come up with some weird like time machine.
Maybe. Maybe one day it'll happen.
Yeah.
The time machine. I mean, when they did SummerSlam at Wembley Stadium, that was on a several day delay.
Well, but that was before the internet.
It was before. But you still, to me, it's like those hardcore fans. I mean, that you still had your hotlines and you had that kind of technology where if you want to find out the results, you probably could. It's less accessible. You had to do a bit more work.
Do you think there are many fans like on that side of the world that watch WrestleMania live anyway at 1 a.m.?
I'm sure there are.
And do you think there'd be enough of those people to fill an entire stadium? Probably not.
Well, I think you'd be drawing from so many neighboring countries as well, people that would be congregating, which WrestleMania has become. It's very they looked at it this year where they were in New Orleans, where it was a very small percentage of locals that went to that show. It's completely populated by tourists. And I think you'd have, no matter where WrestleMania goes in the world, I think you would somewhat get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To a degree. I think Russia people might draw the line, be like, okay, I'm going to order WrestleMania this year. I'm not going.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go there. Or if they put it in, like, Afghanistan, I don't think many people would be.
Oh, what a hell of an angle you'd have to come up with.
I know.
Oh, man.
WrestleMania 36 in Afghanistan.
Man. Rusev becomes a member of the Taliban.
Wow. Anyway, I mean, there's like, so hesitant to even put on a pay-per-view. You know, in the UK, I don't see them ever doing a WrestleMania anytime soon.
Insane Fight Club, This is the documentary we're going to be chatting about. It's a profile of Insane Championship Wrestling out of Scotland.
And so why did they call it Insane Fight Club? Did the BBC just think that was a more attractive title?
Perhaps. Maybe people are familiar with the movie Fight Club and they want to work it in here. I don't know. Maybe it's more...
There's no... Because the word's wrestling. I suppose it's a bit more relatable, but doesn't really tell you what the whole thing's about.
Yeah, I think it just... I didn't put too much thought into the title, but they did change it from the name of the promotion. Really, the stars of this show are Mark Dallas, the promoter, and Grado, who is one of the top stars of the promotion, kind of has gotten over as a cult figure, kind of this everyday-looking wrestler that doesn't have the big physique or anything like that, but incredibly charismatic, who has a very grassroots promotional campaign of just... Yeah. Online videos and...
Is that how he started? Like, was he actually a trained wrestler? But, like, because it seemed to... They seemed to say in the movie or portray that he was just a fan who had started to do these videos online and gathered a big enough following that this guy, Mark, gave him a shot at wrestling and he took off.
Yeah, I think he just started with a lot of these videos, and I don't know if he... I imagine he would have had training prior to wrestling and just got a break here with this promotion that seems to have a very much hot and cult following.
Have you heard of any of these characters before or this promotion?
Very few of them. I knew that this promotion existed, but not knowing too much about it in the Scottish scene, at least. Mm-hmm.
What appealed, I guess what interested me the most about this documentary was the fact that it was the BBC producing it, or at least...
Yeah, which allowed them to use commercial music that you're not going to see in too many wrestling documentaries. We had James Brown, Eminem, even Bill Goldberg's old theme was used in this. There was a complete throwaway scene where Grado is just mocking the Bill Goldberg entrance, and they got Goldberg's theme to put over top of it. Amazing.
And of course, his theme song, Like a Prayer.
Like a Prayer.
Yeah, by Madonna. So, I mean, even beyond that, just, you know, we had watched, obviously, a lot of wrestling documentaries in the past to varying budgets of production. And, you know, we've seen the worst of them to this, which I would consider to be part of, you know, pretty much near the highest end of it. You know, great shots, great looking, everything, great editing, narration was pro. The story as well, everything was high-level standard, so I was mainly curious from that perspective.
I think these kind of documentaries are the dream of any wrestling promotion, where you get these characters over, you get the promotion over, and depending on the visibility, can have long-lasting effects like APW got because of their exposure in Beyond the Mat. I mean, Roland Alexander had said that, man, his sign-ups just went through the roof after that movie, and it was years and years where people in California, they thought wrestling school, their blueprint was Beyond the Mat, and you had a place to go to, and just putting in people's heads. And I'm curious how many people saw this over in Scotland, and you're at least familiar with the promotion. You now know the struggle of the promoter and who these key guys are. I mean, this can be a great, great benefit for an indie.
Totally. I mean, think about it. For a guy like Grado here, you know, this was essentially an hour-long commercial for you, for your company. Absolutely. It's like winning the lottery to be selected. I wonder how that process actually took place.
I'm sure it was just someone pitched the story. Maybe they were a wrestling fan that knew of this promotion. It was a very hot atmosphere you got from watching these guys perform. Their main venue was the Garage nightclub in Glasgow. And then the story is that the promoter, Mark Dallas, is trying to build the promotion up, make it into a real money-making venture for both himself and for his performers, and they're going to run their biggest show ever, the ABC, which holds about 1,100 people. And the story of this documentary is filling that building and peaking for their big show with some smaller shows along the way and coming up with just various stunts and ideas to get word of mouth for the big show.
Yeah, so immediately within 10 minutes, we have our goal and our purpose set within this story. The guy, this kid, taking a gamble, risking his entire family's fortune, it seems, what little there is of it, to put on the biggest shows he's ever put on. It obviously, it all sounds like a very small-scale version of a story that we've heard before, particularly with like Vince and WrestleMania, for instance. But,
yes.
On a much, much, much smaller scale.
Vince McMahon, we're running the ABC. Goddamn. Yeah. So we also meet Mark Dallas's wife, Helen, and their child, Danny, who has autism that they focus on, and the fact that here is a husband, a father, that's trying to make a living in pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Hey,
industry.
But you know what? They definitely seem to pack some. I mean, whether or not, even if it was only like whatever, like some of these other shows, what, 500 people?
Hey, man, there were some TNA house shows a few weeks ago that were doing 200.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, they made it look really, like, these shows were really packed.
You certainly had that feeling that this was this underground, there was a real following that yeah. every indie strives to have, where it's us against the world, and you have these fans that are so loyal to your product and live through these characters, and that at least came off, not having attended any of these shows firsthand. That was at least the feel you got from these shows, a rabid audience that was rooting for the promotion to succeed as much as any of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Grado, as we mentioned, is really focused upon here. Just a massive wrestling fan. There was a brief part where he gets on the trampoline with the weights, doing the Dennis Stamp from Beyond the Mat, where he's bouncing up and down in his underwear.
Oh, I didn't
little
catch
tribute
it.
To Dennis Stamp.
Wow.
Never getting booked. And Mark Dallas gives some background on the promotion, that he ran his first show and they drew 80 people. And it was after the first show that they started selling out their building and eventually having to turn people away. So they're at this kind of point where they have to move to the next level, but it's a big risk in doing so. And they introduce us to Grado and this angle where he hopped the barrier and the crowd started chanting his name. And pretty much just a grassroots approach to gaining a fan base because of these completely like bargain basement online videos that they even show, I think, his mom filming, where he's trying to basically position the camera. It's just like completely low rent, but had this kind of everyman appeal to them, of just this big fan who is extremely charismatic to the point of going out in the streets like a carnival barker to drum up interest for his character and the shows he's performing at.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, all that serves to kind of build the appeal people have in this guy and in this promotion. I mean, we can all relate to not having enough money to, you know, I guess, have a major company behind us like the WWE does. And I think especially a guy like him, who looks nothing like anybody you ever see on TV, and like does not come across like, you know, big super produced high budget. Anyway,
he looks like a younger version of like Jerry Ferreira from Entourage, Turtle.
Okay.
That's
sure.
what it reminded me
exactly.
of.
Exactly, right. And it all just serves to make him extremely relatable. He just seems like a fun guy that you would want to have a beer with. And, you know, people kind of probably see themselves in him.
And he's getting ready for his biggest match. This is on one of the shows leading up to the big ABC card, where he's going to be taking on Colt Cabana. And Dallas explains that we've got to bring in familiar names to get people exposed to our product, because we have confidence that people will love the show. It's getting them in the door and exposed to that product. And we have the voiceover announced that,
and as part of the master plan to draw a wider audience, Mark's bringing over two huge American wrestling stars. Comedy King Colt Cabana and Ultimate Hard Man Sabu will be pitted against Grado and Jack Jester.
Ultimate Hard Man Sabu, who we never once saw on this documentary. We did not see the Ultimate Hard Man.
We didn't see the Ultimate Hard Man. The first time I've heard him described that way.
Probably the last time as well.
Ultimate Hard Man.
And let's first chat about Cabana, who had a presence in this documentary. They showed a clip of him and Marty DeRosa doing worst promo ever and plugging the show with Grado.
They pretty much like they promoted Colt Cabana as like
this giant American star.
Yeah, like this foreign,
like Hulk Hogan's coming in.
Exactly. Like, so, and no, he is.
He's not Hulk
deal.
Hogan.
He is a big deal. But I'm just saying, like, they definitely portray people like Cole and Sabu as if they're The Rock and Brock Lesnar coming in, you know, for these limited dates. And I think it's very eye-opening to just see how, again, how I think how much of a craving there is for pro wrestling on that side of the world, and how spoiled we are, John, in North America to, you know, to get to see these guys all the time.
Yeah, where you see shows where it's, just loaded cards typically. So they do this kind of skit where Grado goes to pick up Colt Cabana from the airport, and it's just all done for publicity. They've got the car all done up, and Colt and Grado then proceed to get into their singlets and start going into the street promoting the show. Like, stuff you just don't see any longer. I mean, at least in this part of the world when it comes to pro wrestling. I mean, this is just full-on get as much publicity as you can, and really like a throwback to the way they would just drum up interest for, you know, the carnivals in town or the pro wrestling matches are tonight, and sending guys out into the street. Like, these guys were thinking at a just different level than you see with pro wrestling. Like, I'm pretty sure we're never going to see John Cena walking down Yonge Street promoting tonight's house show at the Ricoh Coliseum.
John Cena could probably just send out a tweet and probably reach more people because he's John Cena. But
does a tweet have the impact of a pillow fight?
That's a very strange question. You're right. I don't know. You know, I don't know how necessarily effective any of this stuff was, but, you know, they have to do something, and I think at the very least it made for pretty entertaining on-camera footage.
Grado also had this catchphrase where he'd get people on camera to say, "Grado, it's your cell." And he got a stylist to say this. He got Colt Cabana to say this. And this would be his little chant.
This was his thing. And I had first heard of that chant on some of the Raws that took place in the UK where, like, the audience would start chanting, and I didn't know what the hell it was. I couldn't even figure out what they were saying.
Yeah, I thought, what, does he have a BlackBerry or what?
What?
It's your cell.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't know.
This is a Canadian trying to understand this
saying. I was completely clueless. I still don't really understand what it means, but whatever it is, it's really over, and people love chanting it. I mean, to the point where you would hear it on a Raw, Nationals, you know, worldwide show.
In addition to Grado and the promoter, kind of the third character that was focused upon was the guy they were grooming to become their champion, Jack Jester.
I found that really odd. I found, like, okay, Grado basically takes off midway through in the movie.
He had to go on vacation.
It was really strange. So this whole story is leading up to that big show at the end, you know,
the biggest show in the promotion's history.
Yeah. Is it ICW?
Yeah.
ICW's version of WrestleMania.
Fear and Loathing 6.
And half of the show is promoted around Grado, who's, you know, your main attraction, promoted as your main attraction. And then halfway through the movie, he just says, "Oh, sorry, guys, I'm not going to be there. I have a vacation in America."
I found it kind of charming on, like, the indie side that it's like, I can't do our biggest show ever because I can't get out of my my job. My boss won't give me the day off work. Like, just like real life conflicts where wrestling is far from the main priority. But you're right. Structuring this documentary was all to peak for this big show. And your star of the documentary can't make it because he's going off. He's going to be Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas vacation.
Yes, that's right. Just like we are going to be.
Yeah.
In a few hours. So then they kind of, it almost seemed like the producers had to scramble for another new character to focus on. And that's where this guy, Jack Jester, comes in. And I found he's not nearly as interesting as Grado on
camera. A big jacked up dude that, I mean, certainly comes across as like kind of an artist. He has quite the attention to detail about his look, has this seamstress who puts together his stuff. And his story really was that His mom watches a lot of his matches, but his dad has never watched it. But for this big show, his dad is coming to watch him for the first time. And that was the story we had for Jack Jester.
Very simple, but I can't say as a viewer, you know, there's that much to latch onto. Especially, you know, him only being introduced, like, I don't know, with 15 minutes left in this hour-long thing, I felt the whole thing was a little just disjointed. And I would have to assume that Grado's absence was probably not necessarily planned.
I got confused because halfway through the documentary, like, I just thought the story was we're building to our biggest show ever and we're explaining about bringing in these big names. And then we go to the show, which features Colt Cabana, but it's just like a regular show to build to the bigger show. So we had multiple shows along the way before the ABC show.
That was like the warm up, and you would figure the one featuring the, you know, international stars would be the main.
Yeah, show. Like I thought Grado and Colt Cabana, this is Grado explained the biggest match of my life, mm-hmm. would be at the biggest show that they're ever promoting. That's what would make sense. So I was kind of thrown off by all these other spot shows they're doing leading to the big show and bringing in big names to pretty much be setup characters. So it was kind of a lot of kind of just events that were all thrown together in this little mishmash.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we have? For whatever reason, they had this long kind of drawn out segment where Grado got part of his hair dyed. He made the decision to dye his hair blonde like a mohawk and then had to get it redone and to his natural brown hair color. And believe me, as someone from experience, that is not an easy task. You kind of just got to ride out the dye. Wow. And he goes and spends something like £100 for this high-end hairstylist to dye his hair back to its natural color before he goes on vacation.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly. I don't care what you look like when you go on vacation.
There was no explanation of really how he got this hair dyed. Like, it was an experiment he was trying to do for his look, and it just turned out bad.
Yeah. This, despite it being produced by the BBC, there definitely, I thought, a lot of story issues. I thought maybe the first half of it came together really well, but then right after that Colt match, I think everything kind of starts to fall apart, especially with whatever you had to do with Grado here. I don't understand this. It just seemed to me like some type of setup that the producers of the show had with some celebrity hairstylist that they wanted to include in the film,
yeah.
But really had no place.
I also thought, like, the way they had positioned Colt Cabana as this giant American star, I thought that should necessitate hearing from this guy.
Sure.
I don't think they interviewed Cabana at all on this. Like, yeah. I didn't hear from him. It would have been nice to have him kind of endorse Grado after the match. And, you know, this guy is someone that very creative mind and someone that's ultra charismatic. And this is Scotland's little secret here. I just wanted to hear from the guy.
And I thought Colt was, like, the perfect guy for them to bring in. Because just looking at Grado, you can tell, like, there's definitely some influence there from somebody like Colt. You know? Similar physique.
Why don't you just stomp on Cabana?
No, dude,
doesn't have the bodybuilder look.
Exactly.
Right?
And the fact that they're both very relatable to the average person. And Colt, trust me, is great physique, great looking man. But I just mean neither of them look like Brock Lesnar. Is what I'm saying. And both kind of seem to, you know, hit on that comedic tone in a pro wrestling venue. And it would have been great to have kind of Colt speak on Grado almost as like a mentor type of role.
Now, as they're a few weeks out from the big ABC card, they still have more tickets to sell. So they rent a bus and presumably some kind of cabin out in the woods somewhere, where the whole roster goes out and gets hammered to come up with two publicity stunts, one of which is putting a T-shirt and a pylon, which is the ICW symbol, onto this famous Scottish statue, and the other is to have an impromptu pillow fight. Now, for a story where it's like we are pinching so many pennies to become profitable, there seemed like a lot of excessive spending in this promotion, from this little retreat to another one of the shows where the promoter, Mark, admits all of the profits he made from this show he spent on the after party. But it was worth it because he'll have a night to remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for a guy where it's like you're rooting for him because he's trying to make a living for his family, I kind of felt there was a distance there when I hear him say, well, we made money on this show, but it all went back into it for a party afterwards.
Uh-huh. Well, you I think maybe you have to admire somebody's rock and roll attitude.
You got to enjoy the journey.
You got to live for the
more
moment
than the destination.
Is that right?
That's a famous Bo Dallas quote.
Okay. And some of these publicity stunts.
Hey, the first one got 93 comments online, they reported.
Oh, the putting the pylon on the statue?
Yes.
93 comments?
93 comments.
Okay. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
93 comments. I actually couldn't make out most of what was happening here. Because
when they went to the cabin and were hammered, I couldn't – the combination of the accents and the slurring, I didn't know what the fuck they were saying. It needed subtitles.
I could have made out maybe like 18% of the dialogue here. It was just very hard for me to follow the
I made out
Glaswegian accent.
Yeah. I don't know. They have the quick pillow fight in George Square. At this point, they need to still sell 500 tickets.
Captured really well on
camera. Yeah, it looked great from a visual standpoint.
Slow mode, feathers flying everywhere. I really have to wonder how much it translated to ticket sales.
They should have had flyers mixed in with the feathers in the pillow, and then people would see all the flyers. It, like, great, this pillow fight. How do I buy tickets? I don't know anything about this promotion. Are these people?
It also didn't necessarily look like there were a ton of people watching. I mean, again, it made for great footage on camera, but I wonder how effective it was.
So we go to the big show, Fear and Loathing 6. There's a scene where Jack Jester meets with his dad and basically smartens him up to the business to tell him, don't jump the barricade tonight. I'm fine, no matter how bad it looks like I am in punishment or in pain. And then we go to the highlights of the show, super tiny ring they work in. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw Rhino here quickly in the match. Unless it was a lookalike, it could have been him, but never identified.
Somebody delivering a spear through a table.
No sign of the Ultimate Hard Man. And pretty much the whole show is built around Jack Jester, who Mark Dallas explains is getting the title tonight. And this is a decision that he decides a year in advance who is getting the title because he is the focal point of the promotion. And says how titles today are somewhat trivialized, but here in ICW, they are meant to mean something.
Yeah, you know what, this guy Mark, he seems like a good backstage leader. He seems like somebody
gives them this huge pep talk, yeah. And it's like you had a locker room that was totally behind this guy and fighting for this little cause of theirs.
But I suppose like the whole time I couldn't help but feel like everybody was kind of doing their impression of like, you know, ECW, you know, down to like, you know, this guy kind of playing a little Paul Heyman as that you see in Beyond the Mat. And I don't know. It's probably like – but it was that big to these guys, you know? All this stuff, it means that much to these guys.
This really felt like this is the biggest night of some of these guys' lives.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Jack Jester, I mean – whatever you want to look at this as indie wrestling. I mean, this guy was in tears winning this match, showing his dad clapping, which is a nice way to wrap up the whole story. It's like his father, he gets his approval and gets a huge applause as he walks backstage after the match and kind of caps off that here was a show that they pulled it off successfully. And Mark looks out and he says, it looks full and I'm going to go find out if this actually made money. And we never really got... was this a success or was this a failure?
The whole point of the movie was to see whether or not this, you know, they needed to sell out, he said, to kind of recoup the costs and to be able to feed his family. And we don't necessarily find that out. We just know that they had a pretty good show. It looked, you know, it looked pretty bad.
Yeah, from the looks of it.
But we needed a number. We needed, you know, we needed just
basically. We needed a gate.
Exactly.
The facts.
And then it just kind of ends.
Yeah, it just kind of ends with random footage of Grado on his vacation, including his bare ass as he dances in front of a mirror, which I hope Way doesn't replicate this week in Vegas.
I'll try not to.
And that was the end. of Insane Fight Club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a good effort, but far from the best wrestling documentary I've seen. And I just think the storytelling could have flowed a lot more.
Yep.
I think they tried to fit a bit too much in. I think they just tried to tackle almost too much. You didn't get a resolution. And I think it was just disjointed at different points. And I give this a 5.5 out of 10.
I give it the same. I was a little disappointed by this because, you know, when you see the name BBC attached to something, you expect the best. And, you know, in terms of, you know, just general production, like the shots look great, editing is great, music selection was not too kind of heavy-handed, and, you know, flowed, helped the whole doc move. But definitely the biggest issues I thought were with the story. I mean, first of all, it's not really a story that's new to wrestling documentary at all. So, but with that said, this is probably more geared to a non-fan. You know, your typical, like, I don't know who watches the BBC, but
listen, if this
parents.
Promotion, if I lived in Scotland and was a wrestling fan that never heard of them, I would totally want to check out a show after this. I would love to go to one of these shows.
Small group plans to put on a big show. You know, and I will say they did a great job, and Grado himself did a great job of exposing his character to the camera. Like, yeah. He came out of this looking like a major star. And the fact that even though you didn't see him in that final scene, you come off this documentary knowing who that guy is and, you know, maybe wanting to see more of him if he ever pops up anywhere else. But I definitely found the end very lacking. There's, like you said, no resolution about whether or not they achieved their goal. And no real conclusion for Grado's story. He just kind of disappears. And this guy, Jack Jester, you know, even though it was a really nice moment at the end, there was just simply no setup, no build towards that climax that made you really care that much, that the fact this guy won the championship. So, you know, it was interesting. And I think for me, what I took out of it was that it gave me a small glimpse of the scene over there, because it definitely seems like it's a way bigger world than we ever hear about here in North America. But at the same time, it also just kind of made it look like, you know, more of a – just a smaller, almost a copycat version of what we get here rather than something unique to itself like we get maybe from, like, documentaries focusing on Japanese or Mexico scenes. I feel like – for a North American fan to be interested in what the UK has to offer, I feel like they need to craft more of their own identity, at least, you know, with a promotion like this.
All right, we're going to go over to the feedback thread, and we'll see what you guys had to say about it. And we start off with Kenny from Devon, England. I watched this documentary when it came out, and I loved it. It was meant as an introduction of modern wrestling to the general public who sneer at what they think it is. It was originally only going to be shown on BBC Scotland, but after a surge in interest, got put across the whole of the UK on BBC One. While the documentary focuses heavily on the comedy element of the company, it also shows the human and financial side of it all. Mark Dallas comes across as a genuine and passionate promoter who has exactly the right attitude needed to succeed. I actually attended the show that they built up to at the ABC in Glasgow, and it was a fantastic event. Lots of impressive talent, which weren't featured enough in the documentary for me, but I guess that wasn't the point of the TV show. Since the documentary, the company has continued to grow and have put on shows in England as well as Scotland, and are running weekly shows in August in Edinburgh. Great show. Show John and Way, keep up the great work. 8 it's yourselves out of 10.
Ronaldo from Milan, Italy. Hi, guys. Before I proceed with my feedback, I'd like to suggest that you take a look at The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family, which is a short documentary on Paige's upbringing in England right now, right around her time getting signed by the WWE. Onto this, how many organizations have gone by the name ICW through the years? Gotta appreciate Grado's homage to Dennis Stamp, but he reminds me of an old UK-based Fed in the early 2000s where they had their version of Kane and Mankind. Here's the UK version of Colt Cabana, period. Something I'd like as a tribute, if only Grado didn't look 10 years older than Colt, to the point poor Cabana was almost amused at this idiot pestering people in the streets. Essentially, I found this documentary nothing more than somewhat of an evolution of the characters from The Backyard, little indie fed from the UK, and man, do I hate the Brit accent, taking a little from WWE, ECW, and famous gimmicks to create their own niche, which is fine for local wrestling, but does not translate very well on a wider base. Scoring Sabu shouldn't be seen as success for any aspiring young wrestling organization. Just pointing out. Kudos to Mark donning a t-shirt honoring Undertaker's first death at the 1994 Royal Rumble. Other than that, thanks, guys, for the enormous number of reviews you've done through the years.
We go to Michael from England. I first heard of ICW on an Art of Wrestling podcast when Colt had Grado on and was eager to learn more. When I first heard about the show, I could not wait, and it did not disappoint. It was a great peek behind the scenes without giving away too much and probably the best advertisement ICW could have hoped for. Since airing, they have done shows around the UK, and I went to one last month. Awesome wrestling from the guys involved, as well as a main event featuring Prince Devitt against Jack Jester. The crowd was awesome and had a great atmosphere for both old and new fans. ICW also has really hardcore committed fans. The show is about 2 hours away from ICW's home in Scotland, and a huge bulk of the fans came down especially for the show. And the guys involved were great hosts, staying behind after to take pictures, casually chat, and even have drinks with the fans. This is just a taster for what they do live. And to anyone from the UK listening, if you ever get the chance, you should definitely go see them. If you don't live in the UK, check out their YouTube show. Also, if you like this documentary, I highly recommend Vice, the British wrestler. It's on YouTube featuring ICW and compliments us greatly. That's from Michael from England, the publicist for ICW.
Oh, is that right?
No, I'm kidding.
Hi, guys. Chris from Carlisle, England here. This is my first time leaving feedback for a show, but I felt I had to for this one. Having been to a few ICW shows over the last year, I've enjoyed some fantastic nights, and the documentary really gives you a feel of what these shows are like. From the homegrown Scottish guys like Grado, Jester, Wolfgang, and the Bucky Boys, as well as wrestlers from across the UK and around the world like Prince Devitt, Colt Cabana, and London and Kendrick, these guys give their all for the rabid ICW fanbase. It's a mix of high flyers, great wrestling, comedy, and violent hardcore, which is a great attraction to what is an adults-only wrestling promotion. As for the doc itself, I absolutely loved it. Grado comes across as a genuinely nice and funny guy. His antics with Colt, which there is a lot more footage of on YouTube, as well as his trip to the famous London hairdresser Nicky Clark, were particular highlights of him. The story of Mark Dallas was highlighted brilliantly, and for me was an emotional part of the show. His story of him showing his son it's okay to be different is a fantastic message to give. I think the show ended on the right story with the culmination of the Jester story with him winning the title. His literal blood, sweat, and tears is a great way of showing non-wrestling fans just what the business means to people and what they are willing to do to achieve their dreams. I was very glad that the documentary makers chose to make the film the way they did, as they could very easily have looked down their noses at wrestling, but I found it very respectful. If you enjoyed this, and I suggest you check out the promotion's weekly YouTube show, ICW Worldwide.
We go to Ian from Ely, England. I'm torn on this one. As a wrestling fan, I really enjoyed getting to know the behind-the-scenes workings of ICW. However, as a documentary, there were some glaring issues that need to be brought up. Grado was charismatic and easy to root for, so it makes sense that so much of the documentary focused on him. Likewise, the promoter of ICW was also a lovable underdog, and you wanted to root for him to see him transcend his somewhat squalid situation. A nice cameo by Colt Cabana added to this high feeling of high likability throughout. On the downside, with so much of the documentary focusing on Grado, it made little sense for the film to end with the ABC show and Grado not present. Also, the sideline about Mark's son seemed a storyline without much time or energy dedicated to it. Not to mention that Mark was close to tears talking about how broke he was, but then dropped 1,000 pounds buying drinks for the boys. Finally, the Jack Jester involvement was sporadic at best until Grado left the country. It made the documentary as a whole feel disjointed and a little sloppy, and I wasn't rooting for his success like I was Grado or Mark Dallas, so the climax of the story fell a little flat. Overall, though, a nice story that makes me want to seek out the product. What more could the boys and girls of ICW ask for? He gives a 7 Grado tan sessions out of 10.
Martin from London. Much like the wrestlers fighting with my family that came before it, Insane Fight Club does an amazing job in telling the stories of the people behind smaller wrestling promotions, and like Soraya, Knight, and Paige in the aforementioned show, you get a great sense of the motivations and drive of ICW promoter Mark Dallas and his top stars Grado and Jack Jester. While the intended ending is a bit clunky with Grado unavailable for the big O2 ABC show, it does put more focus on the pressures placed on Dallas promoting the show and Jester headlining it for his big title win. And since the show aired, ICW has expanded, putting on a great show in London, which I attended, with them even getting the fans to hang out with the wrestlers after the show for drinks. They've also run in Newcastle and will be having shows every week during the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, one of the world's most famous arts and performance festivals. As much as it was wise to focus mainly on three people, I would have liked to have seen the likes of the Bucky Boys, Wolfgang, the New Age Click, Gnome Dar, the Coffee Brothers, Kaylee Ray, and Joe Hendry featured, as they all had a tremendous amount, as they all add a tremendous amount to the promotion.
Unfortunately, the Bucky Boys not getting enough love from BBC.
No, yeah.
Shane writes in from Nashville. Thanks for reviewing this documentary. I first heard about it from Colt Cabana, but never got around to checking it out until now. This is a nice look at an indie Fed on the rise. Seeing Mark Dallas try to juggle being a family man while still trying to make his name in the crazy world of pro wrestling fit the story nicely. I first saw Grado in the Vice documentary, and I have to say, upon first seeing him, you would never think he could be as entertaining as he is. While most people that would see him would never think he could be taken seriously as a wrestler, it's obvious that he is dedicated to dropping weight and getting in better shape. Being a father of two boys myself, I looked at the interaction between Jack Chester and his father differently than I would have a few years ago. Even with him telling his father he's always in control, I would definitely have a difficult time watching one of my sons put himself through something like that.
Finally, Colm from Cork, Ireland says, "Hi lads, I've been listening to your shows for about 3 or so years now, and this is the first time I'm leaving feedback. Obviously, with any documentary, you need a good human interest story, regardless of the topic. Seeing the promoter Mark speak about his son not wanting to go to nursery was incredibly touching, as was everything to do with him and his son. The other side of the coin is Grado. My first exposure to him was on Colt's podcast. He shines like no one else. Specifically the part where he was redirected to Nikki Clark's salon on the phone, which was brilliant. Fantastic moment when he got Clark to say, 'It's your cell.' The second half of the documentary is where Jack Chester takes center stage, and when he talks about how he feels like he's made it after winning the belt, it shows that success is relative and you don't have to make it to WrestleMania to feel like you've reached the top of your field. The brotherhood, like feeling from ICW, like the night at the Caravan Park, is something that's non-existent in mainstream pro wrestling. At least, it's not seen in the public."
And that will wrap up this week's edition of Review Away. Thank you to everyone for your feedback, whether you are a longtime feedback submitter or a new person leaving feedback for the first time. We appreciate it all. And as we wrap up, Way, we are going to return to the U.S. for next week's review.
We'll be joining Grado on his vacation.
That's true. We are going to be going to Las Vegas, as will two of the primary characters on this show that we are going to be reviewing next week.
Yes. The two primary characters... I was trying to figure out where you're heading to. The two primary characters we will be focusing on in Las Vegas will be Stephanie and Triple H, the site of their infamous wedding at a little white chapel. We will be reviewing the November 29th, 1999 edition of Monday Night Raw, featuring the supposed wedding of Stephanie McMahon and Test.
And the birth of the Authority. Via a roofie.
She was faking it the whole time, right?
That's true.
Or was it Stockholm Syndrome?
We're going to try and get down to the nitty-gritty next week with this edition of Raw, November 29th, 1999. It is up on the WWE Network, yeah. So it's at least a fairly easy show to find. And we'll chat about that next week as we are in Las Vegas, which was the site of the wedding between Triple H and Stephanie.
That's right. And we are going to try very hard to make a trip to a little white chapel.
Oh, Jesus. Are you telling me I should be watching my drinks all week?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
You better not. I won't Roman Reigns your coffee if you don't Triple H my drink.
Okay.
As we end off, Way, why don't you think of a song to end off today's show? So we will be putting up a thread later on this week for the Raw from November 29th of 1999. And, of course, you can catch the Raw from Sunday night where myself and Dan Lavransky ran through the Money in the Bank show. Steve Austin was on the show with us, as well as Dave Meltzer. And then Monday night's Review of Raw, going through Raw from Hartford, Connecticut. And we'll be back later this week. We've got another Bauer and Pollock show this week where we are going to be taking calls once again. No Review and Impact this week. We'll be back to normal next week, but we will have a new MMA report and maybe a bonus show from Las Vegas if time permits. It's going to be a very busy couple of days down in Las Vegas, but back to our normal schedule starting next week. So, Way, you have been cycling through your iPhone. What song best ends this particular show?
I think we should end with a Scottish band.
Of course. What better to encapsulate Insane Championship Wrestling than
this Scottish band. Let's end. Okay, here we go. Let's end with Franz Ferdinand. Did you know that they're from Scotland?
Didn't know that.
Well, then here to take us out, Franz Ferdinand.
As they take Scotland. Us out.
Yes.
Goodbye. Great. We'll chat with you next week.